Memorial Day weekend is coming fast. If you're one of the millions who like to road trip or hit the trails in their off-road vehicle, then your first move should be to hit up Audio Express.
Our trained staff is standing by, ready to outfit your side-by-side, watercraft, RV, or everyday driver for the best-sounding road tripping outdoor fun ever.
JL Audio's new waterproof controller allows you to add amplifiers and speakers to your boat or side-by-side and use your smartphone to stream music via Bluetooth, now just $39.
Outfit your daily driver with rear seat video entertainment or an in-dash AM/FM touchscreen with built-in DVD starting as low as $199.
Visit your friends at Audio Express today.
And make this Memorial Day road trip and outdoor fun the best sounding ever.
See our ad in the Riverfront Times.
And visit AudioExpress.com to chat with us live for internet-only discount coupons and to find the location nearest you.
AudioExpress.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Kelly Morning After, Keys Farms, 9 o'clock hour. Tim McKernan, Jennings Jr. in for the cat, Charlie Marlowe in for Doug. Doug back tomorrow from San Jose. Cat out on the road with the Cardinals through the trip through the middle of next week. And it is our pleasure to welcome to the program for the final time during the Stanley Cup playoff run, unfortunately, presented by GFI Digital, live from San Jose, Kelly Chase. Chaser, good morning.
Hello.
Well, disappointed, and I know you are as well. Some people said they were listening to you and Kerber on the broadcast, and you could just sense the disappointment in your voice. What stood out to you last night, Chaser?
Well, I mean, look. I first of all, I gave a ton of credit to the San Jose Sharks because that's a group that's been at it for a long time. I mean, I think in 06, some of those guys are playing in the same conference finals against Calgary. So there's some experience there. And I also believe that, you know, we were learning on the go, and I think there's a lesson there. They were committed 100% to the opportunity, and their best players played like that. Their older guys were the guys that played like that. We were outplayed in the series, and you know, they were the better team. It's hard to say that because you just never get these opportunities or very many of these opportunities, but you do have to give San Jose credit. They were really good in this series.
Chase, were you surprised last night? You know, the Blues, obviously the team that should have played with all the desperation that it basically took until the end of the third period for them to make a game of it at all.
Well, you know, I thought they played with desperation. I just think that they got outplayed, and they got outplayed in this game by a team that, you know, that had the experience playing in these before. But I don't think I give the San Jose credit more credit than I'm taking away from the team. I mean, look at this is a group that, you know, they've accomplished some big things this year. I mean, trust me, I'm as disappointed. I had tears running down my eyes. I walked right into the room, and the guys, there wasn't a guy that wasn't sitting there still in the room 25, 30 minutes after the game. I walked right in the room, and I just said, hey, guys, I know you're not where you expect to be, but from an older guy, we sure appreciated the effort this year.
Here.
The one thing, like, really, I mean, it's been a long time since we had effort or a bunch of kids that cared that much to play it. It's not easy. Like, Kirk Muller and I were talking after. I go, that's a huge accomplishment, but just think how hard it was to get to where we were, and we still didn't get to where we want to be.
Yes.
So, you know, look, you know, when I walked in the room to say that, I meant it, and I meant it because I really know that these guys thought they were going to win, and they didn't quit. They just played, you know, they played the way they've been playing all year with their know-how, and it didn't work out, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, I think I told you, Tim, 10 times now. San Jose is the best team left in the playoffs, but we can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just didn't do it. Yeah. That's the unfortunate part.
Yeah, you called it going into the series and talking about San Jose. Kelly, the fact that in spots they look like either they were fatigued or just a little slower than San Jose, is fatigue a legit factor when you get to this point? I mean, you know, it's big boy stuff and you're playing for the cup, but they did play 2 7-game series.
I think it has something to do with it. I talked to Kirk Muller. He said when he won the cup, they played 20 games. We played 20 games. We aren't in the finals. So does it make a difference? Sure it does. I mean, you know, those exits a little earlier absolutely help you. But, you know, that's a good measuring stick. Some of the learning curve that we have has to be just that. Like, you know, if you have opportunities like you did against Chicago, you got to snuff them out. And if you have opportunities to close teams out earlier, you have to snuff them out. And the Blues didn't do that. They made it harder on themselves sometimes and didn't play with that same urgency that you saw that the San Jose Sharks played with last night. It's the best game the Sharks played all series was last night.
Kelly, I'm sorry, Treasure.
No, and I was just going to say, and you can tell that.
Kelly Chase brought to you by GFI Digital here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A variety of different aspects of both the game and the series, and I want to get your perspective on it. As far as last night, there certainly was a sense going in that the team was going to play and respond because that's what they had done, not just during the postseason but also during the regular season. Jay brought up the fatigue factor. I wonder what the health factor is. I know it's not your place to get into it, but what we oftentimes find out after a season is over and a team is eliminated from the playoffs is that this guy was dealing with that and then that guy was dealing with this. Not to get into specifics, because I realize that's not your place, but are we going to hear a lot of that, you think, over the next couple of days when Ken Hitchcock has his season wrap-up meeting with the media?
You know what? Maybe you're going to hear a few things, you know what I mean? Look, you got a young guy in Schwartz that had to play with his, you know, 5 screws in his foot, and stomping was a challenge for him on pivoting and stuff like that. But it was stuff they all managed. It wasn't, hey, we got, you know, David Backes was dinged up and we knew that, and you know, but again, they're not going to have that as an excuse. Sometimes it's a reality. You know, that's just what happens. But it won't be an excuse because you got to give San Jose its merits. Our guys were still able to play. Scotty Upshaw is going to have no golf this summer. He's got the calf in the hand and ligaments torn in his thumb and so on and so forth. But I think, you know, the reality is that we got outplayed in a series. And because we got outplayed in a series, you know, we're not playing anymore. And San Jose is. And I don't think there's anybody going to come in and start talking to you too much about if I would have been healthy or
right. Right.
That's just the way it goes. That's how our game is made, and that's what makes it great. We didn't do enough things well in this round to win, and I have to credit San Jose for that. They really did a hell of a job of pushing the Blues out of the scoring areas and playing with the same determination. Look, Marleau and Thornton were, if you could have had a defensive player of the series award, they'd win it. These are two guys that are their top goal scorers in normal years. Last night, I bet you Marleau on backside pressure turned over 6 pucks. And when he was the same age as this Blues group, he was and nowhere near that defensive side of it. Concerned about, he's taken that role on and said, "I'll commit to it because I want to win," and that's exactly what happened with this group last night. San Jose committed to the small things that it takes that our younger guys didn't know yet. And as I said, we were learning on the job.
Kelly Chase, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Chaser, we saw Vladimir Tarasenko come alive, albeit too late, in the final 5 minutes. What was going on, you think, over the course of the 6 games with Tarasenko versus where he was at such a high level in the Chicago series?
I think it's a young guy that, you know, that didn't realize just how hard it was going to be and how much, you know, tougher it was going to get every round. And he, you know, for whatever reason, had trouble, you know, elevating his game to where he has to be successful. And you know, Vladdy's a great kid, and he cares, but he was getting frustrated, and rather than work his way out of it, he thought it was going to come to him, and the game doesn't come to you. It goes away from you, and I think, you know, unfortunately, in when it got harder, he didn't get better, and I think, you know, that conversation this summer about conditioning and about how hard you have to compete in this league at this time of the year, I'm sure it's going to be had by the coaching staff and Vladdy, because, you know, he's such a dynamic kid, he's such a dynamic player, that your expectations are higher for him, and they have to be. I mean, you know, you get that comes with the, hey, you wanted the check. Along with the check comes the expectations. So I think that's where, you know, the conversation with Vladdy, his agent, his mentors, you know, that's going to have to come, because he is a difference maker. And we saw that at the end of the game last night. It just has to be all the time. It can't be once in a while thing.
Kelly Chase with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. David Backus, very emotional last night. Have you seen and heard that when he started talking about Steve Ott, Chaser? You might be familiar with the story, but I don't know if you've seen and heard the soundbite.
No, I did hear him and Ott. I was having a beer with him in the locker room after, and he just, Otter mentioned something to him and said thanks, so I assume it was about him being very unselfish.
Yeah, let me play it for you. Some of our audience, I'm sure, hasn't seen it or heard it yet, so this is it, so you have a proper context, and I'm sure you know the story anyway, but then we'll be able to discuss this further. Here's David Backus on Steve Ott and an incident before Game 5 in St. Louis.
He'll kill me for telling you the story, but game 5, I'm not feeling well, and Steve Ott brings me something to help me feel better, and knowing that he's a guy coming out of the lineup, if I can play, that's pretty selfless, and that's the kind of guys we have in here. So that, just stories like that, that, you know, guys blocking shots and sacrificing their bodies, it's tough to swallow, but you know that the heart's in here and the ability's in there, we just come up short.
Your reaction to that, Chaser?
Well, that's exactly what Steve Ott's about, and you know, and I credit David a little too there for having that recognition. You know, like, Steve Ott was sure he was going to get another opportunity to play. He was one of those guys that didn't play all the time and felt like he should, but he never bitched about it and he never complained about it, and he just wanted to win. He said last night after, he said, "I'm just not ready to go home. I'm not ready to shave this beard off." Because I just feel like, you know, it's the best group of guys I've ever played with, and we're done, and it seems wrong because we should be going. And it just goes to show you just how hard that trophy is to win. I mean, it was a grueling, grueling 6 weeks here already. But yet they're an optimistic group going into San Jose thinking that, hey, we're not done. We're going to play for another few more weeks. And I mean, I believe that too. Mm-hmm. I think I sent you a text last night about it. You know? Yep. I just thought we would win. I thought these guys would find a way to win, and they thought they would too. And so you have to credit the other team, because, you know, there really is something special to be said about, you know, about a group, you know, recognizing it and then everybody being on the same page. And that's kind of what they did to the Blues. They were a determined group that had every single guy on the same page.
Chaser, you know, the immediacy of the loss and the disappointment will linger for a while, but I'm curious from your perspective, knowing this team so well and having a good sense of it, what will this playoff run mean moving forward? And I know that'll depend somewhat on the decisions that are made personnel-wise, but, you know, this was a great opportunity for some of the younger players to get that experience like a San Jose had gotten.
No, I agree. I you know, I think the Blues, the Blues are up against it a little bit. They can't have all of these same players back. So I'm sure it'll be, you know, Doug Armstrong's going to say to David Backes, you know, look, I'm going to give you this amount of money because this fits. Are you in or you're not in? And he's going to go to Trey Brouwer. He's going to say, are you in or you're not in? And then right after that, he's going to make a decision, and the first guy to grab it gets it. And it's the first time he's had to do that. But that's the reality of our game now. We wanted to have a team that was close to the cap, and that's exactly, pardon me, that's exactly what they have. So now you got decisions to make. Well, you got to start paying other guys. Now all of a sudden there's decisions to come with it, and one of those decisions is who do we get rid of? And unfortunately, they're going to have to make some changes. So you got to go out and try and match what you have from an experience standpoint, talent standpoint, and you got to find guys that'll do it for less money. And I think that's the real challenge. So it's going to be a lot of guys that aren't on this team next year, and it's unfortunate because you get only a few kicks at this, you know.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, you know, 11 guys changed hands, I think, last year in San Jose. 11. And that's a pretty good team now. They kept their core together, and that's the way this game is going to continue to evolve, is they're going to keep core guys because, you know, you have to do that because you kind of know what you're getting in the regular season, and then you're going to have to figure out, hey, are these going to be guys that are going to help us down the stretch when it matters too? So it's a tricky business, but Doug Armstrong's got his hands full deciding on which of those, what is your five free agents, which of those five are going to stay with the team? You got Upshaw and Brodziak, you know, you got David Backes and Brouwer. So you've got some guys here that you've got to make decisions on. You know, I think Mag's priority might be up as well. You know, so you've got some decisions to make for certain, and they're tough ones because you just went to the conference final. Not an easy task, but, you know, you have to make changes, and I think the ones Doug made last year benefited the team. That Trey Brouwer move wasn't a popular move, but guess what? It was something that was really effective for this group.
Kelly Chase brought to you by GFI Digital. GFI Digital has you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, and supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. GFIDigital.com. I'm sure that all of the guys were emotional last night, and that's understandable considering the run and how close it seems that team was. But do you think Backes' emotion in that soundbite we heard was in part because he recognizes there's a chance that's the last time he wears the blue note on his sweater?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yep. He, there's guys you care about in certain games that you know that aren't coming back, and sometimes sometimes guys are emotional because they know they're responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's talking with Steve Ott there. You know, Steve Ott is not a guarantee to be back with the St. Louis Blues, and yet could be one of the most beloved guys that's ever put on the jersey when it comes to his teammates. So if you have any substance about your being at all, you have to be able to recognize that you know that Steve Ott might not be back with your team, and he didn't get to play in the biggest game of his career. And so, you know, I don't know how Ken Hitchcock broke the news to Steve Ott, but I have to say I would be venture to guess that Steve wasn't, you know, as upset as he would have been, and whatever got thrown around the room, he would have been saying, well, you know what? I'm going to play in the next elimination game because I'm the guy they should have in the lineup. Yeah. And that's how he feels about it, and that's how his teammates feel. So for a player to show emotion because of another guy, he's probably recognizing all the sacrifice. Think about the sacrifice Steve Ott had to make to play. Literally, he tore his hamstring off his ass. Like, he had to have it put on and sewn back up, so they cut the cheek of his rear end in half and told him he was done for the season. And he had to have it sewn back on and then, you know, go through all of the painful rehab and tearing of the scar tissue and everything to be successful. I mean, to me, you know, if you can't recognize a teammate at that point, then what kind of guy that guy is, well then,
you're just not going to ever get it. And I think that there's a lot of guys in there that know that if you're going into that battle, that's sure the guy you want standing beside you, for certain.
Yeah, and I think one of the elements of this team, and you can speak to this and you've spoken to it throughout the course of the year, I would imagine almost every team that you played on, you certainly had some chemistry. It seems like that's kind of the nature of the beast with hockey, perhaps more so than any of the other three major professional sports leagues in North America. But this group in particular struck me as, based on their comments, your comments, comments of the coaching staff, maybe more close than any team we've had around here in recent years. Is that an accurate description, Chaser?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, guys like Steve Ott, Alex Steen, those guys, those are the guys that make each other keep care, because, you know, you care about them because people matter to them. They love your city. They went out and had their fun, which is a rarity nowadays because of the social media and everything that gets picked up on. They still went out and had their fun together and didn't get in any trouble, but they would do anything for each other. And they did that all year long, and you could tell it on the plane. You know, the music could be cranked. There'd be emotion in there, that the guys were laughing and having fun. You know, that's the kind of thing that you can tell, the chemistry coming together in a group. I think, you know, it's real important to note that, because, you know, they're going to leave today, and they're never going to see this group. You'll never see this group all together again. And you have to look at them and say they really did accomplish something.
Sure.
You know, they put up, they played a hard, hell of a hard group of hockey. And, you know, they're not going to be back, and their coaches, you know, are not going to see them together. And some of the coaches won't be back. And it's just kind of a thing that happens in hockey that's weird. You can win every game and win the Stanley Cup and know that when you're sitting in the locker room, the group will never be the same. They'll never sit in that same spot. And last night I walked down into that locker room just to see where everyone was, and I kind of peeked my head around the corner. Every one of them were sitting in the stall, every one of them with their heads down, every one of them have a beer. It would have been a great, almost history of a team picture. Every single guy sitting having a beer with their head down, no one left the room. And that's how they were. They were always together. And I think that's a solid accomplishment. But on the flip side of it, you know, the tough part is the business side of it, because they'll never be together again.
Kelly Chase with us right now, GFI Digital, the presenting sponsor of it. We've had a number of guests on over the course of the morning. Naturally, a couple of the questions looking toward next year. David Backus, you already have addressed that and how that will be handled, in your opinion, by Doug Armstrong. But Ken Hitchcock, the job that he did this year with the injuries that they had throughout the course of the year, getting over the hump, getting past the Blackhawks, getting to the conference finals and winning a couple of games in the conference finals, it seems like it's likely his shot to call as to whether or not he comes back. Barnaby, your cohort, said that he thinks not only he will be back, but he thinks it'll be a multi-year deal. I think a lot of this comes down to what Ken Hitchcock wants to do. What do you think is going to happen with the Blues head coaching position?
Well, I think Doug will take some time, and he'll figure out if there's what the options are, and then, you know, he'll address it with both the media, but I mean, first of all, with Hitch, they'll sit down and talk and find out where the mistakes were made and if there was enough adjustments, and then will this team respond with another year with Hitch? That's the question. And he was very methodical about how he did it last year. He went through the scenarios and then said, look, I could have made a quick decision at the end of the year, but I didn't. I wanted to go through the process of finding out, you know, what exactly was out there. And at the end of it, I figured that there wasn't anybody out there that was going to do a better job than Hitch. So I kept Hitch. It's also going to be weighed against some of the players that Hitch has and whether or not, you know, he thinks that they're getting the most out of their players with a coach like that. You can have a good system and yet not be getting enough out of some guys. And I think Army will do a real fair assessment of that, and he'll take his time. He's very methodical when it comes to that process. So, I mean, some of the personnel, as you know, are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
the meetings with the players will determine a little bit of it, too. Are you going to change any more than what you've already changed? And if the answer from a bunch of the players is no, then it's going to be a decision between Doug Armstrong and Doug Armstrong on whether or not he feels it's going to be the player that needs to go or a certain player that needs to go or whether the coach needs to be changed. And I think you'll see that come from him. He's got in his mind already, I'm sure he's read the scenario of what he's leaning towards, but he'll do his due diligence to find out.
Kelly Chase with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We've had a number of people texting and asking about this because the NBC cameras caught it, and it was one of the more unique, confusing moments of Game 5, and that is the former Blue, Roman Polak, and Yashkin, and they had a long conversation during the handshake last night following the game. Do you know what Polak was so upset about, and do you have any idea if what was worked out? It looked like they were working that out last night after the game.
I have no idea. I can't understand Roman when he's speaking English. I don't mind when he's speaking Czech, so I have no idea. And I didn't ask Yashki last night, but I know Roman was upset with him the other night.
Right.
I had more to do with the kid overpowering him than it was anything. But you know what? We play the game extremely hard as players, and when it's all said and done, you usually can get over a lot of the things that happen and respect one another still. And, I think that probably the young fellow Yashkin was probably just trying to pay respect for whatever it was he did to Roman and wish him luck. Look, the St. Louis Blues, it's funny. I usually come away from these series and I dislike somebody in this series. I don't have any dislike for that group at all. I have respect for them. I don't have any dislike for them. And so I know that deep down, St. Louis Blues, they can't be in the cup final, and I think there's very few of them that aren't happy for Roman Polak, for all the sacrifices and all of the wars that he went through in St. Louis to get, a young group of kids, and he was one of them, the learning curve there, so on and so forth. He got dealt a tough hand when they started getting good, and he had to go to Toronto, but it seems to have worked out for him. He's getting an opportunity in the final, so I think he'd be hard-pressed to find a guy that isn't now cheering for Roman Polak. So I'm sure, the youngster Yashki was just paying his respects as well.
Chaser, it was a hell of a year. It really was, and it's been a really enjoyable 6 weeks. I know our audience looked forward to your appearances over the course of the last month and a half, and in the Blues and the entire organization took this city and this region for a much-needed ride, and for that, I think everybody's grateful, even though we're disappointed this morning, and nobody's able to convey what goes on inside the room better than you, and we would look forward to it ourselves every time you came on. So thanks for getting up early out there with us and sharing some of your thoughts and some of the behind-the-scenes moments last night. Very cool of you, and very grateful for your time, fine sir.
I appreciate it. You still have Reed Lowe.
Number 34.
I told him the other night, I said, you're officially retired, and you're so out of touch with some of the stuff that you become an expert on all of it and forgot how bad we were as players. Once you forget how bad you were as a player and you start sending out some of those notes, you've officially become retired.
Love it.
Kelly Chase, classic. Chaser, thanks, brother. Safe travels.
Appreciate it. Take care, guys.
There he is, Kelly Chase, the final appearance of the 2015-16 season by our own Kelly Chase, presented by the good people at GFI Digital. You can hear it in his voice. Here's a guy who's a broadcaster, but he wears his heart on his sleeve. And, man, he is he's like a fan, but he's also like a player. He's hurting this morning, and I appreciate that. That's real.
Unique guy, no doubt about it. Yeah. I just tweeted, we're lucky to have a guy like that to give you the perspective. He gives you as much as he can, and you should appreciate that. And you should appreciate the fact he cares. I mean, there are a lot of homer broadcasters, but Chaser is one of those guys that cares so much that he's going to be honest with you. You know what I mean? And I think that's pretty cool. We're lucky to have him, and as we've talked about, he may really, if he got punctured, bleed blue.
This was a really fun team to follow and watch. You really rooted for them. And I was just looking at the roster, and you know, Brodziak, Fabry, Brower, Upshaw, Edmondson, Parayko. There were six new guys that really played a prominent role this season, yeah. And there could be, you know, six guys gone and six new guys next year. So this particular team, as Chaser said, they're sitting in there. They won't play together again, although a lot of them will be back. But it is tough because you like these guys, and you thought they had a legit chance to win it all.
And so did they, and so therefore, for it to come to such an abrupt end, as David Backus says this morning in the Post-Dispatch, it's heartbreaking. And Chase described that scene. He walked into the room, and every guy is sitting there with their heads down holding a beer because they just don't want it to end.
Right.
But at the same time, they're reflecting and they're, you know, incredibly saddened by what has just transpired. And I do think it's different, and I could be wrong. You know, you'd have to ask guys who are on the 2001 team, but I know as somebody who covered it, you weren't necessarily expecting the Blues to win. Like, I don't want to say you expected them to win here, but I felt much better about their chances against the San Jose Sharks than I did against the 2001 Avalanche, who were without Peter Forsberg, but still had, I mean, you look at that roster, and it's just littered with Hall of Famers. Just like what the Blues ran into the next year when they lost, albeit much earlier in the playoffs, to the Detroit Red Wings or in the earlier round. So, Chase, you can tell, you know, he said he had tears rolling down his face, and a number of the guys very emotional there, partially because they're so close, but also, and perhaps when it comes to this recognition, it's a great disparity between the players and the fan base. And that recognition is, this might have been your last chance.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty deep when he said, you know, you just stop for a moment, and as a player in that room with the head down and the Budweiser, you know that as a group, there's going to be a difference next year. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, when you're part of a team, and a part of a team that's had success and enjoyed it, that's tough.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, and it may be the end of the David Backus era. It may even be the end of the Ken Hitchcock era. I don't, though, look at this loss as like the end of the era for this team.
Right.
You have a lot of pieces. And again, today is the day after. But either way, about 15 of these guys are going to be back. That's a lot of them.
And they got
a lot of young, yeah, talented guys. So I do think this team could still win the Cup next year or the year after that. They're going to be really good. But yeah, this exact team will not be back.
And they should garner a lot of experience from this and take some stuff with it, as we talked about earlier with Brian Lawton. The fact that San Jose had been knocking on the door and now appears to be ready to kick it in.
Your thoughts are welcome. 314-880-0080. I really do. And you have guys like that. Listen, I Barnaby was outstanding over the course here. I enjoyed Lawton because you could tell, I don't know, he's got something. Not with Hitchcock where it's personal, but he's not as high on Hitchcock as a lot of national guys are, specifically in the postseason. He blatantly said it, but even if you didn't hear him say it, you could read between the lines. But, you know, Chase is a unique cat. He's, for those who know him, they love him.
Yep.
Anytime he's around, he's just one of those guys who's got stories. He entertains the hell out of you. Plus, you just know he's so passionate. You buy in. He is the real deal. And for as happy as I was for the city, number one, number two, for the organization, a number of people who I know there and really like, and the fans who have been living and dying with games in November that I just couldn't have any less interest in, but I know for them is a huge deal, but I therefore know how much even larger the games in April and May are for them. So happy for them. When I would think of how much you could just tell when Chase was on with us, how much of a high he was on, that just made me really happy. And then also him talking to some of the guys he played with, that meant that all these other guys that he hadn't seen in a while or hadn't talked to in a while were all along for the ride. And so therefore, along with the fans and, of course, along for the city and along for the organization, it's just it's disappointing because it truly was there. And my God, if they could have won on –
Monday or last night. Monday obviously was a hell of a lot closer than last night to have that game seven in St. Louis with the right to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. Oh my God, what that could have done for hockey. For me, I can speak to this. For hockey fans in general, young generations to come, that's where I was finishing the thought. But I can tell you this. I'm looking forward to the regular season more coming up than, God, I don't know, perhaps any time in my lifetime,
maybe
actually.
Yeah.
And that's rare in the sense that I look forward to an NHL regular season just because, I mean, here again, you have, what, the 7 seed, if I'm not mistaken, was it, or the 6 seed, whatever the hell they were, you know, they go in. It's not the way that it works most of the time in the other sports.
But it seems to in hockey.
But it seems to in hockey, and that irritates me, but it's the way that it is, and I know it's not going to be cut back because of the revenue. You know, ask the Washington Capitals of this year, ask the Blues when they won the President's
Trophy
16 years ago. It's the nature of the beast. And it also happens in baseball, don't get me wrong, but it's as rare to have, like, the 6 seed in the NFL win the Super Bowl. We've seen it with the Packers in recent years. It really doesn't happen in the NBA. That's a never in the NBA,
right,
for an 8 seed or 7 seed to get to, hell, even the conference finals. It's absurdly rare. So, you know, when I look at it, and from the fan perspective and from the alumni perspective, from the organization perspective and from the citywide perspective, this is something that brought the region together, and it's sad that it has come to an end, and it's really disappointing the caliber of play that we saw in the final 4 periods of this thing. That's tough to swallow, but it doesn't tarnish what took place over the last 6 weeks when you look at it from a macro perspective. Your thoughts are welcome. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. The email of the day comes your way in a matter of moments. Since I have a very liberal suspension policy, Rigazi's will not have anybody getting suspended. At least I don't think so. Who knows, Jennings?
The emails.
People are going to have to ratchet it up. You want to talk about desperation. You want to talk about effort. You're going to see it today from Misty Plops.
This is game 6.
You're
going to
see it from Madu Bowles at Hanks, and you're going to see it from Stephen Wild, and don't rule out Cucky the Dwarf. Rigazi's stopped by before Cardinal game. It's close to downtown near I-44 and Kings Highway. Rigazi's the sponsor of the suspension log. You also right there on the hill, Bertarelli Cutlery, the sponsor of our Cuts of the Week, which you will hear this time tomorrow. Bertarelli Paper Company as well. Bertarelli Cutlery is selling fine equipment for the domestic and professional kitchen, and they've been sharpening knives of the best restaurants in the area for decades. This is their 50th year in business. Bertarelli Cutlery, a wide array of sharpening solutions for the professional kitchen. They sharpen and service knives, slicer blades, mixers, and much more. Support the sponsors. Mention Bertarelli Cutlery and receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. That's at Bertarelli Cutlery. Support the sponsors. We will take a commercial break. Come back with the email of the day. If you missed anything today, whether it be Matthew Barnaby, Brian Lawton, or Kelly Chase, who was outstanding, I recommend listening to it on InsideSTL.com or podcasting. Subscribe to the show, and you'll have it downloaded to your phone on iTunes every day. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning Hour.